Not today, Bubba.
Go get him, Bubba. Love you.
Not today, Bubba. Gordy, can I bother you for a second? Hey folks, Big Game Bob here. Before we get the show started, let me remind you, please, don't try and be a hero at your local barbecue. Keep it easy, stick to technology, what got us here, with Meater. Protect your meat today with Meater, the world's first truly wireless leave-in meat thermometer with a water-resistant stainless steel design, designed with internal and external temperature sensors to ensure perfectly prepared meat for any meal. Don't mess with another man's meat, folks. Okay? If you want to be the barbecue guy, sure, be that guy. Take on the grill, but do it with the Meater. You can get the Meater today at meater.com. Protect your meat like Big Bob does. Stick this baby in the steak and be prepared for greatness. Not overcooked, not undercooked. Perfectly medium rare, the way steak should be if you got the Meater stick. Enjoy your next barbecue today. All right, folks, coming to you live here. This is indeed the Brantley Dumb Show, episode 83. Coming in hot, coming in early, coming in often. I'm Big Game Bob, coming to you on your local airwaves. However you're listening, whyever you're listening, we're just happy you are indeed listening. That is indeed Grace Ibrahim behind the glass on the ones and twos, getting ready to rock and roll here. Folks, for those of you watching on the YouTube right now, you're probably thinking, my goodness, did the sun just take Bobby for a spin? Yes, that is right. I am burnt. I am hurting. I'm a little bit woozy, a little bit disoriented. Day two after our surfing trip. It is surfing. I guess you could call surfing a sport. So we're going to use that here for our sports segment here, episode 83. Folks, coming to YouTube. I don't know the day yet. It'll be at some point this week. They have a ton of footage to go through. Myself, Joey Coldcuts, Forrest Galante, went surfing on these E-Wave surfboards. These things go 40 miles per hour in the water. They're absolutely nuts. We knew going in that we were going to be doing nothing short of just sacrificing the body. That's all it was going to be, just laying it all out on the line for the brilliantly dumb faithful, and boy, did we. These things have some giddy up to you. Imagine going 40 miles per hour on the water and having absolutely no control of where you're going. Me and Cold Cuts were eating shit left and right. We were just skipping across the water. It's literally like somebody was just skipping rocks. When we fell, it wasn't a graceful fall. We would just be skipping with no signs of slowing down at all, just skipping across the water. Now, we were supposed to go with Rob Lowe. Unfortunately, Rob Lowe could not join us. His son, Matthew Lowe, joined us instead. We come to the boat, okay? They got their whole Animal Planet crew. Forrest Galante is a host on the Animal Planet. They got their whole crew, okay? These guys are no joke. They got drones that are going to be giving us camera footage. They got GoPros on the surfboards. There's all types of cameras going. They're loading this stuff into the boat. I come walking up, me and Joey Coldcuts. We look absolutely just ridiculous. I'm smashing a sausage McMuffin on my way over to the boat. And these guys who are just total surf bros. They really are. Surf bros really kind of have their own language. They really do. The whole time they do this thing where I'm doing right now, it's an emoji. It's like the surfing thing, and they wave their hands with the thumb and pinky and just go, you! That's like their thing. If they're surfing or they get a gnarly wave, they go, you! So me and Cold Cuts kept thinking that we had it down when really we were doing like the rock and roll type thing, and instead of doing the you, we would just kind of be like, you! You know, we can never figure out throughout the entire day the correct surf terminology for the U. We were a total mess. I come walking up eating a sausage McMuffin from McDonald's, okay, walking over to the boat, and these guys are like, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, what the hell do we have here? But Rob Lowe's son comes up to let us know that Rob's not going to be coming the day of. And it's kind of like Rob Lowe sent them out to deliver the message. You know, in the old school area, somebody would pull up on a horse to some village and relay some message. He traveled 500 miles to let you know. Good evening, gentlemen. I see you July 27th to inform you that Rob Lowe will not be coming today. I said, well, where the hell's Rob Lowe? What did he have to go? I asked his son. He said, we had a family thing at the Schwarzenegger's house. I actually got to head thereafter. Okay. I mean, I guess I can live with that. If there's somebody that's going to be chosen over Big Game Bob, I guess Arnold Schwarzenegger and his family is a pretty good one to pick me over. I'll take that. And I said to him, I said, yeah, believe it or not, I actually had something scheduled with the Obamas. Fortunately, Barack was able to reschedule, but let's do some fucking surfing, shall we? So, I mean, the crew's all ready to go. And I tell you what, I cannot say enough about Forrest Galante. This guy is just the All-American. He just gets it. He's just a pro. He knew exactly what he was getting with me and Joey Coldcuts. We went to his house months ago, and it's one of our highest-rated YouTube videos that we have. It's got like 70,000 views. We went to Forrest Galante's house to do a tour of his house and an interview with him. He was just coming off an interview with Joe Rogan, who's a very knowledgeable guy, asks a lot of great questions, knows animals, does his research, and then me and Joey Coldcuts come in. City guys, no idea what we're talking about when it comes to wildlife, and he gets it, and he understood that, and rather be upset about that, he owns it, and he plays into it, and it makes it so much fun. And me and Galante have really built a good friendship from, and we talked ever since. So when the surfing idea came about, you know, it was just a no-brainer. The guy is just a pro, and he's so much fun to be with. He gets a kick out of me. I think he's a fucking nut. He goes swimming with great white sharks. He wrestles with the anacondas. This is no joke. I mean, he's just... he's an all-American guy and really turned into be one of my good friends. We had an absolute ball. We really did. I mean, it was so much fun. I cannot wait for you guys to see this footage. Just of me and Cold Cuts wiping out. You should have seen the guy that he brought our skipper for the day that was following us in the boats. I've never felt so comfortable in the waters in my life. Because honestly, this guy pulls up, okay? It looks like he walks on water. This guy looked like fucking Aquaman, like his home is the ocean. There was no chance of me drowning because this guy was not going to let me drown in his home. I have never felt more comfortable in my life. Just a full surfer, bro. That's all he was, just a full-time surfer, bro. He goes, you boys out here for halibut season or halibut season? No, we just here to do some fucking surfing. To be quite frank with you, sir, I didn't know that halibut had their own season. For me, they're either just on the menu or they're not on the menu. That's about as much I know about halibut season. These guys are fishing every day. It's just really... you gotta see this footage. Again, they're following us in boats. They got these drones flying over us. There's cameras. There's GoPros on our surfboard. I mean, it was so well done. I can't wait to see the video. Forrest Galante, I cannot praise this guy enough. He's as good as it gets. Get a look at his show. He was from the show. He's got his own show, Extinct or Alive. He was the one who created Naked and Afraid. He's done a lot of stuff with Discovery, Animal Planet. This guy's as good as it gets. It really is. I cannot wait to give you guys this footage. It's top of the line. Me and Cold Cuts just doing nothing but sacrificing the bodies out there for the Brilliantly Dumb faithful. Anywho, we are moving on. All right, folks, that leads us to transition this show here. Again, for those of you watching on the YouTube right now, you're probably seeing a different looking Bob right now. That is correct. We braked, had to get myself ready and prepped. We have a very special guest coming on the show for you today, Sir Joel McHale. For those of you who don't know Joel McHale, he's a stand-up comedian, had a hit show Community on NBC, did the White House Correspondents' Dinner speech in 2014. He's really been everywhere and anywhere. Movies, he did TED with Seth MacFarlane. He's been in a ton. The Soup he was the host of, which, you know, was renewed for 12 seasons. He's been in a lot. He's a stand-up guy. I've heard him in a lot of different interviews and podcasts and whatnot. What I really want to get into him with him, there's a lot I have to discuss about him. Something that I really want to get into was his White House Correspondents' Dinner speech. I love these. You know, it's so cool when you're able to make fun of the president to his face, and it's kind of like a roast, and it's a really neat thing. And Joel McHale came on and did it, and he put on one of the better ones, the better shows I've seen. I mean, he was incredible. It was so good. He went around the room just roasting people, and he just crushed it. So I really kind of want to get into that with him. He sat at the same table as Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, and he's just a really stand-up guy from what I hear, you know, around the industry, and another confirmed friend of the pod. So here we go. Coming on right now, we have Joel McHale. Enjoy the show, folks. All right, folks, here he is. We're bringing in Joel McHale. Here he is. Coming in hot. Here's our guy. There he is.
There he is.
There he is.
There he is.
Look at you. You got the press junket vibe going on to you there, Joel. Look
well,
at you.
All About Steve is one of the greatest movies Ken Jeong has ever been allowed to be in.
I tell you what, Joel. I like that a lot.
Right.
I really do. Please excuse my appearance. I got fucked by the sun the other day. So if you're looking at that sunburn, can you see it or it's okay?
No, I just thought that was a pre-existing condition.
Yeah, yeah.
I just assumed.
Joel, let me ask you something, okay? And try not to be too honest here. What's a bigger moment for you, okay? Hosting the Jimmy Kimmel Show or coming on as a guest to the Brilliantly Dumb Show Zoom call? Again, try not to be too honest here.
Well, I'm going to have to say seeing skin cancer developing in action is exciting, like a National Geographic special. So I guess Kimmel was like, you know, like an honor and like, oh my gosh, I'm doing the Kimmel Show. And then this is more like, I just have never seen this live. This seems...
Well, that's why I wanted to do just an all white background for you. This way you could just focus on and just roast me for my face. I figured that would be best for the audience, the best way to go about this.
And that huge albino penis that you speak into also.
Yeah, don't forget about that. You cannot forget about that. Joe, you ready to rock and roll here?
Oh, yeah.
So here's what we do. What we usually do for guests coming on the show is we like to give them the Wikipedia read and read their Wikipedia. Here's the problem, though.
Yeah, because –
Go ahead.
No, it's just intense research that you do by looking at
– Look, we go deep into the archives here, but the problem that I'm having here, Joel, okay, they got the Soup. They got the NBC sitcom. They got Community. They throw in Spy Kids here. Here's what they're missing, okay? 1992 Washington Huskies walk-on football tight end. It almost seems like, Joel, since your days at the Washington Huskies, the NFL has kind of changed the way they go about their tight ends. Now they go with the more, you know, tall, skinny type, athletic tight ends. Is it safe to say you've now paved the way for the Jimmy Grahams of the world, the George Kittles of the world?
Yeah.
Is that Joel McHale?
I get so many letters from those guys and like gifts. And after games where they play great, they're just like, couldn't have done it without you. And I'm just, you know, I never respond because it's embarrassing. And I know that people are like, you're the father of modern skinny tight ends, unathletic skinny.
Pave the way.
Yeah. A lot of people call me the father, like Michael Stipe being the father of alternative music in the 80s and 90s. So yeah, they're talking about a plaque.
I mean, you got to think if Patrick Mahomes had a Joel McHale to throw to, that could be an absolute problem. I don't think they'd be trailing the Niners at all in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'd feel bad for Patrick because he wouldn't be able to show his arm off the way he does because I would just be right there. Boom. Got it. No problem. Short pass. Blah, blah, blah. That's how it works.
Can I pump your tires even more? Okay with that?
They're tank treads, my friend. They can't be punctured or lowered. They just roll over everything.
I'm going to keep pumping your tires because here's what I like about a Joel McHale, okay?
Okay.
I'm watching you on Instagram the other day. It was an Instagram live. I could be wrong. I want to say it was the Washington Post or something. Something around those lines. Yeah. You with me?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay. I thought you were talking about the Dr. Joshua Schiffer Instagram live I did where I talk about COVID for an hour and a half.
No, again, we go beyond the Wikipedia here, Joel.
Wow.
We do it all here. Yes,
Washington Post.
You come on for this live chat, okay? It's 11 o'clock here in Los Angeles, California. Yep. You come on for the live. You're grilling a sirloin. Is that a normal thing in the McHale household, 11 o'clock sirloins?
Sometimes once in a while, will be like, it's time for a steak. And then I usually it's the evening and usually there's a glass of red wine. But I was like, sometimes on these things, like, I find them, you know, boring to tears. So I thought, why not do something, cook a steak. And then I ate it and it was wonderful.
Now, if you have the steak for lunch though, the only issue that I have, how do you one up it for dinner? Usually you should one up lunch with dinner. What did you do for dinner that? Cause it could only kind of go downhill from there. No?
Steak tartare, raw steak.
Look at you. Very good answer there, Mr. McHale. Holy shit.
Raw.
How do you feel about postmating your steak? Is that a big no?
I've never postmated a steak in my life.
Not for you?
I've never used Postmates.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you cooking all? What are you doing? 7 nights a week you cooking?
I will go get the food if we want food from somewhere. But I, look, as much as I the service is wonderful and I want people to work, the time between ordering and getting the food always seems longer to me than me calling in, hopping in my car and bringing it back. There's something about, well, I don't know, the delivery system that I'm old. So I'm like, I don't trust this. This could, who knows where it's been. So I haven't Postmated.
Well, you know who would not be thrilled with a delivery steak is the guy that actually connected us by the name of Jack Arnold. What an absolute saint that man is, no?
Very good man. Yeah, and so, yeah, he's one of my favorites, and he knows what the fuck he's doing. And,
no doubt about it.
You know, when you get a nice piece of meat, you don't – that's the critical time. When you take that thing off the grill, it's still cooking, and I have timers, and I have – if I want a medium rare steak, I pull that thing off when it's rare and it will get to medium in 10 minutes. And that's when it's showtime.
I got suckered into doing a delivery steak the other day from Craig's and it just wasn't the same. And I was really kicking myself because you're paying the same price. No joke. Yeah.
And you're not getting, I mean, you're paying full price. You're not getting table service and, or a person, you know, serving, you know, there's the distance between the kitchen and the table is a few feet. And then all of a sudden, I have an APL steak was pretty damn good because they're very
nice play.
I'm not saying that Craig's isn't, but we had it picked up and I'm like, you have to be right there when it comes out because, and then zip it over because it's going to be a hockey puck if we don't get it within about 20 minutes.
Joel McHale knows his meat. He really does. I mean, you got to hand it to the
guy. When I die of, you know, all my arteries being blocked by the same, you know, at the exact same time, I'm just going to go, worth it. And then bam. And they were like, he ate a lot of steaks.
Well, Joel, as much as I want to talk 11 a.m. sirloins with you here, let's transfer this over to the comedy department here. Now, you've done it all. You got the TV shows, movies, stand-ups. What I want to touch on a little bit that I've always wondered about, okay, is this gig at the Correspondents White House dinner, okay? What are nerves like going into that? Are nerves at an all-time high compared to anything else that you've done?
I have never been more nervous in my life.
Don't blame you.
I burnt out the fuse in my brain for nerves after that. And I've done a bunch of nerve-wracking things or supposedly nerve-wracking things since. And I was like, oh, this is what happens when, I don't know, Navy SEALs defuse enough bombs underwater blindfolded where they're like, yeah, it's no big deal. When they were like, after the president said his jokes. I stood up and I had a dizzy spell and I was like, oh my gosh, you are nervous. And I knew, so I, this was after an hour and a half sitting next to Michelle Obama and we were having a grand old time. And then they're like, all right, go do it. Go tell your little jokes, get up there. And because the president had just slayed, he had just destroyed.
He always does. Yep.
Funniest president in a lot, because he worked at it. And yeah, so I, the, like, there's first few moments where I was just like,
here we go.
Okay. And I had treated that group of jokes like they were children that I had birthed into this world and nurtured. And these two writers, three writers that I worked with, we just did mini shows every day, and we would hone it and hone it. And then we knew some of the jokes would be the same. Like, we knew there would be an Orange is the New Black Speaker Boehner joke, because he always was so, he made you look like an albino. And so we knew, so as Obama is delivering similar jokes, I'm just ripping them out of my
killing it
thing. Right. I'm just like, okay, he's already done that joke. And yes, it was 16. I have ridden in an F-16 airplane. I got to do that one time. I was not nearly as nervous as I was for the White House. I have swam. I swam with sharks last year. Nothing. No. Like, I was just like, yeah, they're dogs with fins. Okay.
You were speaking in front of sharks for this one.
Yeah. I've gone on Bear Grylls. We like shimmied up the side, a cliff face. And I was like, this seems fine. And I'm not saying that to be bragging. It was like any other time I would have just been terrified and screaming and vomiting and peeing. But once I was that nervous and kind of like got a hold of it, then I was like, okay, this is the level that it's going to be. I don't know what I could do. I guess if I hosted something like the Oscars or something like that, that would drive it back to that same level. But
you know what intrigues me about the whole thing, Joe? Is you have to, and you're sitting with the Obamas, you're sitting with Michelle and Barack Obama at the same table. Obviously, you're so concerned and worried about your speech. Is it hard to hold the conversation with Michelle Obama when all you can really think about is the speech you have coming up?
Well, she is so incredibly lovely that it almost was this very nice respite where I'm like, oh, I'm just having a nice conversation with this incredibly cool person. And that put me at ease. And
so Michelle Obama kind of loosened you up in a way, no?
Yeah, I would, because if I was just sitting there backstage pacing back and forth, I probably would have been, I don't know. It might have not gone well. I don't know, but she is. And I mean, like no other gig I've ever done, I have never been more prepared, ever. Like prepared the same way. I felt like an astronaut going up in, you know, the first Apollo rocket, where I'm like, if I don't know this by now, then it's just, I'll never know it. And so I kept telling myself that. I was like, you know all the jokes. You practically can say this 20-minute speech verbatim. And so I kept telling myself that, and then you have the president. So there was 1,000 distractions, but yes, at the same time I'm talking to everybody, there's a aircraft carrier sitting on the back of my head.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, going like, get ready, asshole, here we go. And I guess the only thing you could liken it to would be the buildup to a Super Bowl where they're just, you know, where you're just like, let's just get to the game. Yes, this is all
fun. You know what? It's a phenomenal analogy.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. That's the only thing I could think of. Cause you're like, just come on, let's go guys. And, I, you know, the, when you finally get down there, you just want to play the game. And, so yeah, it was, yeah, that's why I was so sad when our current president got rid of the dinner. Cause, he clearly, I mean, I don't care what your politics are, but the guy can't take a joke to his face.
No doubt about it.
And he can't, it can't handle it. And that's why it's so, from my perspective, it's so cool when the most powerful person on the planet, the leader of the free world,
It's the best.
Having jokes told to him, like best. At him, at his expense.
Totally.
And I did a interview with, I was in France, thank you. And I did a bunch of interviews because we were at this television festival and it was either Romania or Hungary. And I said, what would happen in your country if I told jokes about your leader at a dinner like that?
Folks, stay right with us here. We just interrupt the Brilliantly Dumb show to let you know that we are presented by Manscaped. Fellas, get that summer bod ready to rock and roll. The beaches are open, the sun is shining, and the bushes must be tamed. Manscaped is here to ensure your post-quarantine body is ready for the wild. Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your full body grooming game. Folks, starting now, get 20% off and free shipping using promo code BROBIBLE at manscaped.com. BROBIBLE. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping using promo code BROBIBLE at manscaped.com. Folks, protect the nuts, protect the chest, protect your ball sack today with Manscaped.
And the guy laughed and he was like, oh, you'd work prison for the rest of your life. You'd be smacked. You'd be breaking
rocks. You know what's scary, Joe? You don't know if they're joking or not.
Oh, he was not joking.
You know what I mean?
Like, oh, no, that's it. You'd be finished.
Okay, so then let me ask you this. After you go up there, most nerve-wracking moment of your life, you dominate it. You really did. You crushed it.
Bless you.
Is the adrenaline just through the roof after? Are you just big dick in your way throughout anywhere you go after for the rest of that night?
The nerves
had to leave. No,
the adrenaline dump was, I think I could have slept for 10 hours, but and this is impressive for me. I did not drink the wine at my table.
I bet it was good wine.
I was like, I don't want to be influenced by anything. So there was my glass of wine and I just went, hunk. And I was like, all right. And then the president like shook my hand and hugged me. And so did Michelle. And she left her purse. So they walked out, her purse is sitting there. And I'm like, and ran away. No, I literally walked up to the president and tapped him on the back. And I was like, your wife's purse?
Where is Secret Service? They can't get the purse?
I walked right up to him with a box going like, hi. And I mean, it was a matter of a few seconds, but he just turns and he looks at me and he goes like, oh, that was good, Joel. And I was like, so I'm relieved. And then I look down at the crowd and Russell Wilson is waiting for me. And
who's your guy?
Who's my guy? And that was the first time we ever met. And I was just like, hey, Russell. And Richard Sherman was there. And so I was very, it was all very surreal. You know, I said, like, it's looking out onto a crowd of like a wax museum of people that are famous.
But you know what? Even confidence-wise, after you do that, you got to feel like you're untouchable. I mean, hosting Jimmy Kimmel had to be like almost a walk in the park for you after doing something like that.
Well, I mean, obviously hosting the Soup helped me because I've read 1,000,000,000 jokes over 12 years. Ironically, so I did that in 2014. Community and the Soup were canceled the next year. So
yes, you didn't do as well in the speech as we thought.
I was like, oh, I guess this is it. I guess that was it. That was my peak. That's it. No more. And that was ironic. I look back. I strangely that day, the next day, we had all these stupid events planned, and we stayed out till like 5 in the morning. And my kids are like, let's go to the spy museum. We're like,
oh, here we go.
Yeah. And I got so we were leaving the next day. I made sure we were not going to leave the next day. I was like, let's leave the next day so we have a little bit of rest. And we get on the plane. We get on the plane. And right before we get on the plane, my wife and I both use the bathroom. And we just have that look where you go, we're both sick. We're sick. We're going to get ill. And we get on the plane which is, you know, irresponsible. But the kids are already on the plane. They're there. And all I thought was 6 hours. I mean, we didn't know what we had. But so my wife proceeded to vomit for the whole ride. I was coming out down here the whole ride. And thank God, I was like, we're buying first class tickets because I'm going to be on this trip and going everything. I was like, I don't care. I'm spending miles. I'm getting first class. And if I didn't, I would have been trapped like against the window. And it would have. So then everyone I talked to, whenever like, well, then we got sick and they're like, yeah, that would happen. I was like, no. It wasn't that. It wasn't the letdown and like, oh yeah, you got sick after such a big deal. And
you should have told people that you were sick during the dinner. They would have compared it to the Michael Jordan flu game.
True.
Jordan flu game, Joe McHale Whitehouse speech.
That's exactly how people would look at that and me and my ability. That's exactly.
You know who we had on the podcast who it's just when I think of these correspondence dinners that I think of, we had Robert O'Neill, the Navy SEAL who killed Bin Laden.
Yeah.
And he talks about being able to watch that correspondence dinner after it took place. And I believe it was Seth Meyers.
Yep.
A Bin Laden joke while it was going on.
Talk about a badass.
Oh, my God.
That is sitting there ready to – he's like, I'm going to go for a lead for a second. Watches Bin Laden get killed. Comes back, tells jokes, nails it. Then
– ice cold.
Yeah. And then Seth Meyers, that's when he went after Trump. He began making fun of Trump because Trump was in the audience. And I know that, believe me, the conservative people watching right now, if you're in a comedy show, no matter who you are, and a comedian goes after somebody and that person gets angry and can't take it, that is a gift to a comedian. It's once you get to that person, it's like, oh, I won. I got to you. And especially with someone who was in a position of power like Trump, who the Apprentice was huge at that point. So, you know, people are like, that's where he decided to become president. I was like, I don't know. But I was like, when it gets to you and people like someone, you know, if in a comedy show and someone like storms out and they're mad, people are like, well, yeah, you got him. You messed with a professional. And anyway, that a lot happened that night.
Let me ask you something. You have worked with top notch guys, obviously, Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart, Seth MacFarlane. Who do you, off cameras and everything when you're not rolling, who's a guy that just blows you away comedy-wise that you think is just one of the funniest people you've ever met, even off the camera?
Jeez. I mean, I'd be hard. Anybody on that, when I've worked with people that are in that category, they are all
hilarious.
They are all kingslayers. They're all without except. There's nobody I know that was like, "Huh, he's funny on camera, but what a I cannot go. Oh, this guy
rocked your world.
Just like I cannot. Let's see. You know, like when I worked with Matt Damon, I didn't understand at that point how insanely funny he was. And I think
that's a good one right there.
That was more surprising that I was like, oh, damn, he could have been a stand-up if he had wanted to. Same thing.
Right, the Kevin Hart's in them, we expect. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. And I mean, I just did a game show with Kevin, and it's
hilarious, by the way. I saw that.
He's remarkable. I mean, I just did another where I'm just like, fucking A, everything. He's pretty. I mean, he's like, this is why he sells so many tickets and is a movie star. Cause you're like, there's good comics. And then there's comics that are always in the moment. And people like Robin Williams or someone like that, where they're like, oh, they just operate at a higher level. And those guys, everyone you just named does. I know I did that a little thing with Will Ferrell and I was like, Lord, no wonder.
You love that shit. You love doing that shit. No. Like, you just seem very – I even watched some of your interview with Howard Stern.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You might be one of the most comfortable guys to sit on that because there was a time where I thought you were going to lie down and take a nap.
Oh, I didn't sleep that night. I was so nervous.
I mean, it's just like – you just looked very comfortable in that.
I my goal, well, that was from extreme fatigue, because I've done his show twice and I was more relaxed the second time. But I mean, it's also because of the power of Howard Stern that he puts you at ease and you're like, I'm going to tell this man anything. He can have my right. Family, whatever you want, just take it. And obviously Howard Stern will go down as one of the funniest and innovators of all time, but it's come through now, but he's one of the greatest interviewers of all time. And so that I don't think that was unexpected, but it was he's just, when you're actually there, you're like, oh, you're just really good. You're just,
well,
like,
it's funny you say that, because that's the thing you hear of guests say what makes Howard Stern Howard Stern is that he just instantly makes you so comfortable from the moment that you walk in.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, let me ask you this, Joe, you're a big stand-up comedy guy. Do you think with the way the culture is right now in the world, that stand-up comedians have always kind of had this green light that they could really say whatever they wanted to say, and you can't judge them for it. They're on stage. This is what they do. With the way things are now, do you think when we get back to being able to do stand-up shows, comedians out there are going to have to pull back a little bit more so than they had to?
No.
Not at all?
No, because I've heard comics say, like, oh, kids are too PC these days. I can't do my thing. And I was just like, well, then you're not adapting to what the situation is. And I have not found that. I find that I don't know if there's ever been a time when comedians get asked that, have been told that or asked that for a long time, where it wasn't I never heard an interview with, I don't know, with Richard Pryor in the 70s where they were like, isn't it great we live now when you can just say anything you want out loud anytime? Sure. And I don't think that ever was the case. And I think the older generation of comics see new people coming up and going like, these kids, I don't know about these kids. We can't do what we used to do. And I think that's just a thing that happens. Because comedy always finds a way, and I think you just have to adapt to it. And so I don't think they're going to look back on this time and go, and this is when comics really restrained themselves. The only time that happens is if you live in a tyrannical government where you say something badly about the leader, and then that's removed.
Right.
That's when you go down. I don't feel that. I don't have that sort of like, oh man, I can't tell that anymore.
Right. Just watch this subject or watch that. It's kind of, you could still feel free to just let it rip.
Yeah. I mean, it's more sort of like, oh, if I feel weird, like, should I talk about this subject? Then I'll bring that up on stage. It's like, should we talk about that? Let's work out what can be said. So I think you just have to, if you're good to stand up, you just have to work hard all the time. That's why I'm a bad stand-up. I've done a bunch of colleges in the last 2 years, and I would say they were just as fun as they always were. I love a college audience, and they got more energy than everybody. So I would say that it was similar.
Joe, to how it's been. When you look back on your career, okay, with everything that you have done, would you say
am I gonna die?
No, you're hanging in there. You're still doing it. You're A-okay. Okay, you are fine for now. Keep eating those steaks. You look great. You really do. When you look back, the soup on E, 12 seasons.
Yeah.
Okay, would you say that that was one of the most memorable times of your career? You're up and coming. You probably got your own parking spot at E at this point. Oh, yeah. I mean, are you just living? Is that the time you look back to and say, that was it for me?
I think when I was doing the soup and community at the same time,
that was it.
That was when I would be like, oh, I've dreamt of things like this, and this is what I've always wanted. I didn't realize the sort of sleep deprivation it would, entail. That was a very busy time. And I know when I look back, I'll be like, that was professionally the time of my life. Like, it was just so much fun, and I got to work with all these great people, and my kids were just, they're at that age when they're little things. That would be my only regret, is that I didn't see them enough. And I was, after that, I was kind of like, I want to get jobs that I don't have to be gone all the time. Because I remember, like, I was like, oh, I just worked 200 days in a row or something. And I was like, well, that's good for work. But I will look back on that when I could do these, you know, full-time jobs. And it was football actually taught me how to work my ass off. I look back on, there's weird little things where I look back and I'll be like, that was such an enjoyable time. What a cool thing. And I get to say that I did, you know, I was like, I got to do that. So, but that time, that 6 years, that was busy.
Take it back to maybe not the most enjoyable time? Would you prefer to line up as tight end again for the Washington Huskies, do a couple slant routes and get lit up if need be? Or would you rather do another season with Chevy Chase? Season with Chevy Chase, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah, because those slant, now at my age, if you get blindsided, you can snap a I would do the football if I could, like, load up on HGH for the next 6 months and some sort of, Eastern Block steroid from 1978 and just got it all in there. Then
you may be paving the way for a new set of tight ends, the HGH tight ends. You could go back to the run blocker type tight ends, more thick type of guys, the thick, big-time Joel McHale.
Yeah, I would. Well, look, the tight ends I worked with, we had a two tight end set, and they were both long. And I mean, they were long. One of them was 6'7", 300 pounds.
Oh, the other Jesus was 6'4". No offense, Joe, but what were you doing there? I mean, you're not 6'7", no?
No, I'm 6'4", and I was 250. So okay. I was still 50 pounds lighter than any of them. But they both went into the NFL and both got Super Bowls. So I was way out of my league, but I feel like they were part of this new generation. I mean, cause they could run. One of them was Ernie Conwell, who won a Super Bowl with the Rams. He could run a 40 yard dash and bench 500 pounds and squat 1,000 and clean and jerk 360. And so he was a monster. And Mark Bruner, who was the captain of the Steelers for years, he was the starter. Ernie was the backup. So, I mean, it was like they were.
Were you the team's ball buster, though? Could they kind of see your career coming?
Oh, I was very good on skit night. That was the first time anybody respected me was on when I was doing skits. They were so happy. And, after that, people remembered me for that, not for how I played football.
Joel, I want to close with this here. You've adapted to the new times, whether it was switching over to Netflix, you do a Zoom Jimmy Kimmel that you host. Now you have the Darkest Timeline podcast with Ken Jeong. How do you like the podcasting game?
Oh, well, I am an OCD workaholic crazy person. And when the COVID hit, you know, obviously all the stand-up went away. And all the, you know, stuff that's coming up. So that all got canceled. And then I was like, you know, I'm one of those people that when they sleep, my knee just shakes. And so I said, what can I do? And Ken and I talk all the time. And he and I will talk for 2 hours. And I'm like, we got to do this.
Well,
Tran, his wife, was like, you should do that. And she also named it. And so we just thought after the table read of the community cast, when that was coming around, I was like, we should just bring on our friends. And so far we've only brought friends on people that we know and people that we have relationships with. And I'm sure that will run out at some point, but, some people are like, oh, you got to keep it to 40 minutes. And then I was like, oh, that one was 2.5 hours. So,
right.
Yeah. But we just did one with Allison and she's so funny. I mean, she is so fucking funny. It is kind of terrifying how funny she is. And we really enjoy it. And what we hope is that, because he and I started doing stand-up, like I would go out and do 20, he would come out and do 40, and then we would do another 20 together. And that's what I hope, that's what we're both kind of like, if we can go do shows and do it together, that would really be so much fun. And I would do that in a heartbeat. That's what we're hoping and keep it going. Do you like the podcast?
I love it. I think it's funny that you said you guys are kind of just talking, you know, it's like you guys would be on the phone for 2 hours and then, cause that's the vibe that you get with the podcast is it's like you guys are just talking, which really is the way it should be. It's the most natural.
Yeah. No, I mean, if I was doing a true crime podcast, then I would have to know.
I'm sure facts. You could do if need be.
Well, I would know facts and then have that cool NPR music float in and then it floats out and then it floats in. Then you hear crowd noise and then the
hey, screen. Let me tell you, you do the special effects, right? You don't even need to be talking about a crime and it would be spectacular.
That's true. I'm not going to do that.
Something to think about. Well, look, I'm happy to leave you with something to think about. I knew if you were hanging with a guy like Jack Arnold, you would be a great guy. Joe, you exceeded expectations here. We appreciate you coming on the Brilliantly Dumb Show.
Well, Robbie Bobby, you are very thoughtful and you knew your stuff. So thank you for asking really cool, thoughtful questions because some people are like, so Spider-Man 2,
yeah.
Tell us more. Yeah. Well, that's a while ago. Well, it looks like since you live by, we'll have to grill some meat.
Hey, buy them. Just put about the medium rare, just like my face right there. You're good to go. Okay.
That's well done, my friend. that looks like you're at the first stage of putting clown makeup on.
Hey, Joel, I appreciate you taking a couple shots at me to end off. It's a perfect way to Joel McHale would end that way.
That's my sad job.
Hey, let me know. We'll have the steaks ready to go. I look forward to it, brother.
We'll do a distance eat off.
I'll get some big old tongs. This way I won't have to be too close to you and just kind of reach in when necessary.
Hey, the heat off the grill, that kills the virus. Can't live in that.
There we go.
Just keep your head over the grill the whole time.
Do I look like a guy who's got corona right now?
You gotta wear sunscreen, dude.
I know. But you know what? It was a cloudy day and they say that's when it really...
Well, that's when people don't realize they're getting burned.
Yeah. Well, you know who we were supposed to go with is Rob Lowe. We were going surfing on these electric surfboards. Problem is, airfoils? Rob Lowe never showed. They're these e-way surfboards, 40 miles per hour. I think Rob Lowe knew that he couldn't risk getting sunburned. He didn't show.
He didn't just text you going, hey, man, I'm not showing?
No. We found out today. His son came, great guy, hell of a surfer. Rob Lowe didn't show. I just don't think
the electric surfboard
to do this to his face. Me, I can afford it. I'm not that good looking of a guy.
You could have worn like a hat with a thing and covered yourself in the zinc. You could have done all that.
Yeah. But you
what's the name of these boards?
E-Wave Surfboards. We got a video coming out with it. They fucking fly. I'll get you connected with the guy. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's nuts.
All right. I'm very excited.
We're going to see you riding an E-Wave surfboard?
Oh, that's the only way. I have a one-wheel skateboard with a big go-kart tire in the middle of the board.
Jesus, you're a nut.
I love it. It's easy for the old man as opposed to like an electric skateboard where you're like, I don't know. But this one is great. Because I've been looking at one of those airfoils. Have you seen that?
No.
All right, look up
airfoil. What's that all about?
It has a rudder that goes into the water, but it's a surfboard. You'll see. But this E-Wave sounds fascinating.
Fascinating, really. You know what I'll do? I'm going to send it your way. You could take a look at it.
All right, and I'll send you the E-Foil stuff, and we'll compare.
Send me the E-Foil.
And we'll see who wins. How much does the E-Wave surfboard go for?
Well, that's when I might lose you. What do you think an electric surfboard 10, should go for?
It's $10,000.
I swear to you, you nailed it.
Yeah.
On the head, $10,000 on the dot. Absolutely nailed it.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, obviously, if you're Rob Lowe's son, you're not having problems with money.
No.
So, and if you use it a lot, hey, and you're using it for transportation, maybe it is worth the price of a Datsun.
No, I could see Joel McHale just whipping it around in his pool.
Oh, in the LA River.
Yeah.
The only way. Love to do that. All right.
Hey, you are the best of the best, brother. I appreciate
you.
You're
the best.
You take care, all right, buddy?
Let's do this again. Thank you, Robbie.
No doubt about it. You say the word, okay?
Okay.
Take care, brother. Hey, Teji, that guy's awesome. He really is. I'm a big Joel McHale guy. I get a kick out of him. A true ball buster. And I tell you, I really hope, Grace, I really do hope that he invites me over to steaks because I would love to crush a couple steaks with Joel McHale. I really do. He's a ball buster. And Bobby loves a good ball buster. Folks, put it on the board. Joe McHale, confirmed friend of the pod. Anywho, that closes us down here for episode 83 of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. Why is this such an important episode? We had Grace Ibrahim on the show the other day. We brought her on. For those of you who could take a look on the YouTube there, that was kind of her send-off. This is officially Grace's last day editing the podcast, putting it out there. And I just want to give another shout-out to the young lady. I'm telling you folks right now, the podcast changed my life. It took me out of work and really put me into something that I'm now doing and that I want to do every single day as a career, which really is the dream. I mean, you always think about, you always talk about doing something that you want to do every single day. That's what I'm doing, and it's because of Grace. Grace got this podcast started. She's the one who convinced me to do it. Got everything that I needed to set me up for success in it. And not only just that, she's very good at it. And she was a perfect sidekick for me. And Grace, I know you're listening to this. You will be missed more than you know. And we will do everything in our power to get Grace back, you know, from the Middle East and back here. And the goal is, and the goal always has been, to get this podcast big enough to where we could get her citizenship in the United States, you know, with this as her full-time career. And that's, again, that's been the goal from day one. It'll maintain as the goal, and we just got to keep plugging away. Grace, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you've done for this podcast, for the Brilliantly Dumb faithful. We love you, and we will get you back. Folks, we will see you next week for episode 84 of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. You all take care now.